Explain gardening for the Gulf Coast with Mobile's award-winning garden expert and chief horticultural advisor for Mobile Botanical Gardens, Bill Finch. We'll talk about living and growing on the Gulf Coast. Now, your personal yard and garden consultant, here's Bill Finch.
Hey, welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. Boy, we got some we got a conversation going here about live oaks. We also have a conversation going about your spring, and we want to do both. We're going to balance both. I see Mr. Toler coming in right about now. And I've got Chris Francis on the line. He's going to be talking too. Listen, let me say something. This is very important. You know, the people on this show are very thoughtful about trees. We're not in the usual sense of the word tree huggers. Some of us have cut trees before, and we believe that there are times when it may not be appropriate to plant a tree in a certain place. Because there's not enough room for that tree, and the tree will do damage to the building, and the tree itself will be damaged and will struggle. We also know that that there are many instances where we're overplanting some types of trees, and I want to stress this really quickly. We love our live oaks here in Mobile. Everybody loves our live oaks. We think they're great, and the trouble is that we're overplanting them. You don't understand. You remember dogwoods? Let me just say, you remember dogwoods? How many people, the calls are less now because it's finally beginning to sink in. You can't grow a dogwood in Mobile. And there are many reasons for that. But one of the biggest reasons is that we overplanted dogwoods everywhere. In a place, in a climate where diseases run rampant. And when you do that, in a coastal area like Mobile, you get big problems. Crepe myrtles, it's about to happen. I was telling Chris, Bobby Green sent me a picture of a crepe myrtle the other day in Fairhope. It was the ugliest, most pitiful thing I have ever seen. It was unbelievable because crepe myrtle scale is running like just wildfire through crepe myrtles. And because we planted crepe myrtles one after another everywhere, it's going to be a problem. So we recognize that we need diversity in the tree canopy. We recognize that sometimes you need to cut trees. But the question is, how do you go about it? Who makes those decisions? Are they thoughtful decisions? Because if you're going to have a great tree canopy, if Mobile's going to maintain a great tree canopy, you got to think about it. You got to be thoughtful about it. So here's what's happening. I got Peter Toler here because, listen, Peter's already told me I'm wrong. He's already said, you ain't got it right. He said, you ain't got your numbers right. So I'm going to get Peter here. He's going to talk a little bit about what's actually happening, which is fair and is good. Peter Toler is the city of Forester. He's going to say, he's going to tell me as best he can what he knows about it. And, you know, he's working carefully with the city to make sure this thing's work. Chris Francis and I are kind of outside looking in, trying to figure out what's going on. Chris is here with me. And Mr. Boswell is calling back in to talk a little bit. Bill is calling back in to talk a little bit about what he's thinking about where oaks are concerned. Thank you for calling back in, Bill. I'm listening. What's up?
Yeah. On your show this morning, and I think everyone will be very appreciative of your discussion with Peter Toler. I've caught just the very short end of your last hour of your show. Basically, what I wanted to, I guess, run by you, and maybe you can discuss this with Peter going forward. What we're trying to do with our, what we're calling our Live Oak Lobby, LOL, we have been dubbed by some of the city officials, is that we're just trying to bring attention to the issue of the live oaks.
Right.
We are of the opinion that obviously, not all live oaks are going to be around for forever. We need diversity for the live oaks, for our forests in the city. We definitely want to maintain as many of the live oaks as possible. In areas of the downtown area, that makes sense. The problem that we've had with this process is with the city is that it has not been transparent. Many of us have been involved with the Broad Street Tiger Grant stakeholder meetings where, you know, questions were asked of us and we were asked to give our opinions on design and what how we wanted that streetscape to look and what it was to include. You know, that's been a process that's been going on for the last 2 or 3 years, and it's a great project. And as I've said on many occasions since this issue's come up, we in no way want to threaten this project because we feel it's a great project for the city. However, evidently some things have changed that have not been brought to light to the public in situations having to do with design changes that we don't know what those design changes are. There are evidently some situations with funding that have caused these design changes. And as a result, some things having to do with our live oaks along those along that route are more of those are coming down than what the discussions were during all of our stakeholders meetings. So what we are mainly trying to do at this point is to get the city to agree to hold a public forum where we can have the experts from, you know, the different departments that are involved in this project sit down with the community, the neighborhood, in an open forum, answer questions about, you know, why and these trees need to come down, how they decided that, you know, these particular trees can and cannot survive, and, you know, what we can expect going forward. Now, it may very well be, as we have been told, that the deadlines for the Tiger Grant are so tight and hard that we don't have time, the timeline, to change anything major in the design at this point to save the trees, the 100 or so of trees that are slated to be cut. And if that's the case, then our main objective has to be going forward, well, what about the rest of the project? Because this is only phase one and basically phase two combined into phase one.
Right.
So what's going to happen with the rest of Broad Street as that project is
right.
continues to be designed? So, again, the main point is, we need an open forum where we can ask these questions and we can be given this information. All kinds of rumors are flying around, disinformation on both sides of this issue, and we need clarification. We need the mayor to, you know, have his people present their case and be subject to some questions, and we need to make it transparent.
Bill?
And, you know, go ahead.
Bill, thank you for being so thoughtful about this. This is exactly what's needed, and this is exactly the kind of discussion that we need. I think that forum could help a lot. Chris, are you listening?
I'm still here.
I think what Bill is outlining is a very is a good process and a thoughtful process. Because we are going to have to make some case by case decisions on trees. Is there you know? Let me push the brake here just a little bit, real quickly. But let me say that I'm not a certified arborist. I don't make money doing this. I don't make much money doing anything. But there are people who are certified arborists, and I respect what they do, and I think they need to be involved in this process. So we're gonna be back. We're going to talk a little bit more about that here in just a minute.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Okay, listen, we got a lot of folks here this morning. We got a lot to talk about. So, you know, I started this mess this morning when I decided I came back to Mobile. Let me explain. I came back to Mobile from some work I was doing in another part of the state. And I'm riding my bike, and somebody said, "Well, have you weighed in yet?" I said, "On what?" I said, "On Treegate." So what are you talking about? Sorry, folks. I was out of the loop. But there was something. There's been a little episode on Beauregard. Some of us know where Beauregard is. It's part of the loop downtown, part of the Hank Aaron loop, Beauregard and Broad. There's a plan to take down a number of trees there in order to make that a corridor that does a lot of different things. Part of the goal there is to create a corridor that's good for people walking and maybe good for people biking. I don't know whether they'll actually figure that one out or not, but it may be. And it needs it. Beauregard and Broad is one dangerous place to be. It can be a very dangerous place. Some of the things I've heard about, some of the traffic calming devices, I think they can work very well. And I'm very pleased about that. But it's kind of like it snuck up on everybody. And I'm not sure why it snuck up on everybody. I don't know when it happened, but suddenly everybody's realizing, man, there's 100-something trees coming down. And I'm not going to say any more numbers because I'll get them wrong. And that's one of the reasons Peter Toler is here, the city forester, who's gonna stomp on my foot every time I say something that ain't true. And then we got Chris Francis, who's one of our area's great arborists, really active in a lot of urban forestry issues. I'm really, really glad. It's really a nice thing to have Chris Francis around, folks. I just want you to know. He does a lot of good things, keeps an eye out, and puts a lot of time into things. And we got Bill. Who is working with a group? Bill, tell me the name of the group again. Is it an official group that y'all are part of, or just an ad hoc kind of thing?
Yeah.
Bill, you there? Okay. Well, Chris, you there?
Yeah, I can hear him.
Yeah. Okay. For some reason we're not hearing him, Charlie.
Try it again, Bill.
Yeah, Bill, try it again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Now we're hearing you.
Okay. All right, sorry.
Sorry.
I am associated with the Lyonkoff Historic District Neighborhood Organization.
Good.
And the Lyonkoff Historic District Neighborhood Association is part of what is called the Government Street Collaborative.
Good.
The main goal of the Government Street Collaborative is to try to protect what happens along Government Street, having to do with development and anything that might impact those neighborhoods that are adjacent to Government Street.
Good.
We are now the Live Oak Lobby, LOL, is kind of a with a pun type nickname that was given to us by some of the city officials, and so that's not a real thing.
I see. I see. So, well, good. But I like you're taking a very thoughtful approach. I've listened to what you've said, and you're clearly thinking about this in some very broad and constructive ways. Chris was asking. Chris, you were asking about a meeting. This is Tuesday. Tell me what's happening on Tuesday.
Is that me, Bill?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, on Tuesday, and I mean every Tuesday, for the most part, the city council meets at 10:30 down at Government Plaza in the auditorium. And I have requested a spot on the agenda to bring up this issue about the oak trees as a result of what happened with the tree commission meeting last Tuesday afternoon. And so we as a community of you know different organizations are considering the possibility of appealing the decision of the tree commission. Now that's something that we really don't want to do because of what we have been told by the city at this point that a delay might threaten the funding, the $14 million for the Tiger Grant. And that's something that we really don't want to do. So we have asked on several occasions for the city to provide us that public forum that I mentioned earlier. And so that's when I go to the city council on Tuesday, one of two things will be brought up. And the main thing being that, you know, we are asking the city council to help persuade the administration to hold this public forum with the understanding that if a public forum isn't held, then we may have to appeal this decision to the city council, and then they will vote, make their decision, the city council will vote, make their decision as to whether or not they agree with the tree commission or not. And if they do, then obviously that's going to delay the process. So yeah. What we're just asking at this point is to please have the administration provide in the next week or so a forum where the public can have questions answered. City can get their information out, and everybody can be on the same plane.
I think that is
quite frankly, most everybody wants this project to go forward.
Yeah,
but we just need information.
Need information, and I think that's a great approach. So the best step for people who are listening now may be to, if they can, to appear with you to provide support at that Tuesday city council meeting. Is that correct?
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, I think there's been a lot of support out there. And, of course, city council meetings are held at 10:30 on a Tuesday, as many of the other city meetings during the work day. But if anyone can come to the meeting and, whatever side of this issue they're on, we would like for them to be there.
Good.
To voice, at least show up. They may not be able to talk because this isn't an actual agenda item.
Now, right.
The city council may decide they want to discuss it. They can do whatever they want to.
But
there's only a 5-minute slot for me to talk, and then they can ask me questions or they can move on to the next business item.
Showing up makes a big difference sometimes.
It makes a big difference sometimes,
and it sends a big message. And so that's good. That sounds like a great way forward. I really like this, Peter. I've stumbled through this because I don't have access to the plans, and I could get them, but this has kind of crept up on me. I wasn't prepared for any of this. But Peter Toler with the city forester, tell me what actually is happening here.
This is essentially, Bill, a CIP project that extends from...
What's a CIP?
Capital Improvement.
Okay, good.
It extends from Canal Street on Broad all the way around to Beauregard. And they are going to be resurfacing the road, putting in new sidewalks, new bike lanes, all types of things. This is a project of engineering. They made an application to the Tree Commission.
Mm-hmm.
They're wanting to take out the said number of trees and replace with smaller stature trees that won't per se be in the way.
Yeah. So that's good to know. And it's a lot of details. this is one of those projects where if Peter and myself and Chris Francis, who's here with me, and maybe Bill too, if we were all standing on the street and looking at a particular tree, I would bet that there are trees there that we would argue about.
Definitely. But I will also say this, from glancing at the project and walking some of it, there are some said trees, according to industry standard, whether there's a CIP project or not, that should come down.
Yeah.
So.
And so we've got some of those. We would probably agree. Some of these, gosh, they just can't stand. Some of them don't have much future, we might say. Some of them we might say, gosh, I love that tree, but, man, we got to compromise here. So there's a lot of different trees and a lot of different approaches to what those trees are, and then what do we replace them with is a very interesting question, and I worry, you know, I hope we've been thoughtful about that, but we'll come back, guys. Thanks for being on this morning and talking about this. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about it.
Because everything you get down. On your bending knees, I ain't going to dig no more taters. I decline, I ain't going to pick no peas. Because everything is on the phone, you know you got to go.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Hey, welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. Got a lot to talk about. We got a lot of folks here, but Catherine, Catherine's been trying off and on. Catherine, I'm sorry. We had a lot going on this morning. You had a question this morning.
Yeah, a quick question. I called you about a month ago and yep. asked about moving some limelight hydrangeas.
Right.
And you said that was a perfect time. And
it's a great time.
I did not move them. And so now I was thinking about moving them yesterday, and my husband and I started talking about they've already started leafing out, and I don't know whether this is bad to move them now.
It's certainly a less than perfect time to move them. If the choice is between now and doing it in April and May, do it now. If the choice is between now and doing it next fall, do it next fall. Right now they're beginning to put on new root growth. That's okay, but they've already done a lot of root growth already. You're beginning to get into the dry season. You're beginning to court the dry season. You're going to have to water that thing like crazy. Just make sure you water it if you move it now. It won't kill it to move it now. It'll stress it a little more, and you'll just have to be more careful to water it when you move it.
Well, they don't have to be. There are two of them. They don't have to be moved. I can just you say the fall, like late fall.
Catherine, like the very December. Best time from my experience to move stuff like that is sometime around October, November, and give them a couple of good waterings, and they'll make it through the winter, and you may not even have to water them again after that.
Okay. All
wait,
right.
Wait
well,
until October, November.
Thank you
November.
Very much. That's what I needed to hear.
All right. Good, good. Hey, so we're back to talking about trees. We got a little forum here. Peter's Toller's come in to put a check on us to make sure we know what we're talking about. And Chris Francis is here. Peter's the city forester. Chris Francis is one of the area's really top arborists. Always glad to talk to him. Hey, Chris, you had some thoughts on this. You had some questions.
Yeah, so I've got a question, as I'm sure a lot of the general public does. But what is the reason that these trees have to be removed? Are they paving a street right through the middle of it, or are they too close to the road, or are they a danger? What is the reason? That's something I haven't seen spelled out.
Yeah, and that's right. I don't know because I haven't seen it either. I suspect there may be many different reasons for each tree, but this is a great question we need to be asking, and for every tree we have to ask that question. Why is this tree coming out? And I don't know, Chris. I don't know.
And what standard is applied? What method are they using to figure out, this tree needs to stay, this tree needs to go?
Yeah, and that's right. So you're sort of implying, Chris, and I'm reading between the lines, you're sort of implying that they need to use an arborist standard, an accepted standard.
Well, they should,
standard.
But, you know, in a situation where you're paving a, you know, you're building a building, you know, right on top of where the tree is, then, I mean, you know, that tree can't stay there.
Right.
But and that makes sense if that's what's happening. But, you know, if the trees are just in the way of progress just because it's easier not to have to work around them, or are they actually in the way?
Yeah, right. And working around them, meaning do we have to protect the roots? Do the branches get in the way? Would we have to trim the branches, which is something you're going to have to do with every tree?
Yeah.
So these are great questions. Bill, were you going to?
Bill?
Yeah.
May I just
please
say something on that point? One of the problems with this project has been that, unfortunately, the city and its consultants and, you know, the engineers, designers from the beginning didn't make the decision that we wanted to keep as many of these trees as we could. They did not start out the design with, you know, the oak in mind or the other trees that are along the roadway. Now, it was brought up on many occasions by members of the community, neighborhoods, the stakeholder meetings, about the, you know, the oak trees and the other landscape that was already existing and, you know, what was going to happen to them. And on many occasions, you know, we were told, well, there are going to be a few trees that might have to, because of the direction where the roadway is going to go, the design with the sidewalks, the bike path. But the problem, as we see it, is that, you know, we can engineer just about anything in design and make it work if we decide it's a priority. And
right.
Unfortunately, the city just did not see the oak trees or the other trees along Broad and Beauregard as a priority. And the priority became just the design itself. What was the most expedient way to do that? And I understand that from a funding standpoint, because there are limited funds, but here we are now with a situation where many people in the city are very upset over what they don't know and don't understand, and that's a question that needs to be answered by the city. Were the proper standards used to decide on these trees by people who are experts on that, or was it just a you know, an engineering design decision that tree's in the way of my design, so it has to go?
Yeah, expedient on paper is what sometimes gets sought in these things, and expedience on paper isn't the same as really coming up with a good practical design that maintains the texture of the city, and you want to do both. I mean, this is about, again, I guess I kind of want to remind folks, this isn't about individual trees. It's about how do you maintain a city reputation and a city appearance that Mobile has become famous for. And at one of the most visible points in the city, that will be used by a lot of people, we want to make sure that we've done that right there.
Yes, and on that point, I mean, you know, Broad Street is going to be, you know, one of the main ways to get to and from, you know, the new airport out at Brooklyn. So visitors coming in, that's going to be a gateway.
Yep.
For the city.
Yep.
And we have to decide, you know, what type of impression we want to make on people coming to the city. And we want to make sure, you know, we are doing what we want as residents. What do we want our city to look like for us?
That's right. That's right.
And our quality of life.
And Chris, so one of the things we're looking forward to, and I think one of the steps that we can take, as I'm understanding this, is that on Tuesday there will be a city council meeting. And I think the idea is at that city council meeting to ask for a forum that where these questions can be discussed. I would recommend for those of you who have an interest in this to join in on that council meeting on Tuesday. It'll be a good time to do that. You know, even if you can't speak, attending those city council meetings is very productive. It can help a lot of folks. And we can answer some of these questions that Chris, Francis, and I can't answer because we don't know. All we've got is our questions. Chris, any thoughts you've got about any more thoughts after hearing this?
Well, I wish I could be at that Tuesday meeting. I'll be in Tuscaloosa giving a presentation on trees, but so as you know, such is life. But I think it's a great idea, and I do think that people need to be there. They need to be a voice. Need to ask questions, and I think we need to get some answers. And it may be, you know, very simple. It may just make all perfect sense. But I think right now, everybody has a lot of questions.
Yeah, that's right. And we can't answer them because we don't see the plan. I am going to try to do my best to review it. I will not be able to be there either. But this is at 11 o'clock. If I 10:30. City Council's at 10:30 on Tuesday morning. And you know, you can come. You can try to speak. You can certainly get on the agenda. Perhaps you can try. But this isn't about, you know, it's not about just tree hugging. It's about trying to create a dialogue about how to create a good canopy for the whole city, how to maintain that canopy for the whole city. And I don't think this is just about, for me, this discussion isn't about just Beauregard and Broad. It's about how the city approaches trees throughout the whole city, how we're going to move forward. We've agreed that we can't stay in one place. We can't just expect the live oaks to take care of themselves, and we can't continue to plant live oaks and crepe myrtles. We got huge diseases beginning to take out the crepe myrtles or making them look so ugly you wish they could be taken out. We got huge live oak diseases that are coming this way, and we're going to create a perfect playground for those diseases if we're not careful. So we've got to make good decisions. We're a city where diversity counts, and diversity in that tree canopy is going to be very important. That's all good. And we need better infrastructure for our people and for everything else that we the tin cans we ride around in. We got to do all that. But we have to do it thoughtfully, and I think this Tuesday council meeting may be a great place to start. This has been a great discussion this morning. Thank you, Bill, for helping us out here. And Chris, Chris has been really generous here with his time this morning. Thank you, Chris. We're going to be back after this after a break here in just a second. And Chris, we might want to close up you and I talking about this if you have some time.
Yeah. I think there's plenty of things that people can look for in their own yards.
Yep.
So maybe we can touch
good,
on that.
Good. Great.
My girl, don't lie to me. Tell me, where did you sleep last night? Come on, tell me, baby. In the pond, where the sun don't ever shine. I was shivering all night too.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Hey, welcome back. It's the Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. Boy, did we do a lot of talking this morning. And we talked about an issue that that matters to a lot of communities around the Bay because, one of the things that I think Mobile has been famous for, and everybody comments on it, are the trees. And they're very important to the city. We've sometimes gone overboard in one direction or another. We sometimes haven't given enough. We often, even when we give them the most support, we give them very little attention. That's one of the ironies of Mobile, is we say, oh, you know, trees at all cost, and then we give the trees no support, no attention that they need every day. You've got to have people taking care of them, and so it's always a problem. It's always a problem. We reached a small boiling point here at a situation on Beauregard and Broad. It's a timely issue in many ways because there's a grant clock ticking, I'm told, and there's some other issues going on. But it's a big strip of Mobile, and a lot of trees are coming down. I would have to say that you could probably talk. You know, I'd probably go out and say, "Yeah, man, that water oak, boy, you don't need to keep that thing. That's going to be a danger to everybody. It's not going to stand there a long time. It's not something we need to worry about." And some of the crepe myrtles, I might say, you know, we got the world's full of crepe myrtles. I'm not sure we need to keep those. And if they're impeding safety, if they're a problem for safety or passengers or for pedestrians, maybe we need to think about that. Maybe there are better things than crepe myrtles we could plant here, because crepe myrtles are suffering from diseases because we've overplanted them. But it all needs to be done thoughtfully. It all needs to be done in the open. And if you do anything involving trees, those of you who have power to do anything involving trees, you need to know, and of course you do know, surely you recognize that when you say the word tree in Mobile, people are going to come out of the woodwork. They're going to be there. They're going to worry. So here it is. We're in a state of worry, and I think it's a good time to be worried. I think it's a good time to think about it. And I think it's a good time to think about the process by which we take down trees and decide which trees go where, and think about it very carefully. A good start, 10:30 Tuesday at the city council meeting. There'll be a group of people there asking for a forum, I believe is what they're going to do. You can go and attend, find it out, to discuss and ask better questions about what's going on Beauregard and Broad. Chris, you've been listening to all this. I mean, what are you thinking?
Oh, I think a lot. but I think I really wish that I could be at that meeting, and it just the timing is not right. But you know, I think that I've got a lot of questions. I'm sure a lot of people have a lot of questions, and it's not. I don't want to jump to conclusions. I just want questions answered. I just want to know more about it. I want to know what's going on, and I think that's probably where, you know, a lot of people stand.
Yep. And you know, what Chris does is he helps us all when we have problems with our trees. And because we are a city of trees, trees can grow fast here. They can grow big here. And they're part of what makes our city beautiful. Sometimes we get trees in situations. I mean, Chris, what are things that individual homeowners need to be thinking about right now?
Well, there's a lot of things, and some are kind of seasonal and some are not. But you know, we get a lot of questions on health, and I would throw in there that there's another component that people think about. They just don't use the right terminology, but we call structure. And structure is really kind of what keeps the trees, you know, standing up, and what makes them fall down. And which is, I think, what most people are truly concerned about, even though they talk about health, you know, maybe a disease or a, you know, a leaf spot or some yellowing or something. But really, I think the larger concern from a liability standpoint is that structure. And so, you know, what some of the most common things we see are conchs on the side of a trunk or at the root system. Something sticking out of the side of the tree that doesn't look right. They're fungal fruiting bodies. Right. Ganoderma is one that we're seeing more and more of, very invasive decay fungi. Armillaria is one that's like a little bunch of little honey-colored mushrooms that are coming out of the base of the tree, and those are, you know, again, fruiting bodies of decay fungi. So you start seeing mushrooms and conchs around the base of the tree. Doesn't mean the whole tree's got to come down. It means hey, let's look farther. Let's look at this a little bit deeper and take a look. If you see a hole or a cavity, ideally the trunk should be round. And so if you start seeing a depression, mm-hmm. some sort of canker, some reason that trunk is flattening out on one side, really need to look at that a little bit farther. And it may just not be a big deal at all, or it could mean that there's some major problems there. So just somebody needs to look at that a little bit deeper. So we see codominance with bark inclusion, very, very common one. And we like to think of live oak as being a very strong tree, which they are, but they can still suffer from these bark inclusions, which are, if you look and you see you've got, say, two trees kind of coming up out of the same spot or two trunks kind of coming out of the same spot. And then as they grow, they're not really grafting or growing together. They're pushing apart. Mm-hmm. So that's where we see a lot of failures, even in live oak. If you see ants, if you see termites, and again, not all that's bad, but we just need to look a little bit farther. We need to look, okay, well, what is this, you know, what's inside the tree? What's going on with it? So we get a lot of questions on lichen. And lichen's not a big deal. A lot of people really worry about it. They can come in different colors. They can be smooth. They can be scaly. They can be hairy. Symbiotic relationship between blue-green algae and various fungi, and so they can appear a lot of different ways, but the lichen's not hurting anything at all. There are some diseases. There are some different things that can affect the trees, and they can go downhill pretty quickly. If you see something unusual, something that's not right, I would say it would be worth looking into. It might just be a quick search. It might be a send a picture out to somebody that knows what they're doing, or call an arborist that can come out there and check it out. I'll say this. A lot of times we get called about a tree that somebody's worried about, and we get there and no big concerns about that tree, but the one 20 feet over, right. Ooh, man, this thing is rough.
You know, I think,
I would say, you know, the arborist training and the qualifications, all that, you know, all that's for a reason. And there's a lot that the arborist can really bring to your yard.
A lot of people look at the tree in their yard that is nearly dead and worry about it, and that's not the tree that's going to do the damage, because it often has so little foliage that it doesn't get blown down very well. The one that causes the damage is the one that has seemingly a lot of foliage, but that has a hidden rot in the middle of it.
That tricks a lot of people. They say, I don't understand why this tree came down. It was really healthy. It was green.
That's not the problem. It had a structural problem. Chris, it's been great, man. We had a great discussion this morning. Thank you for being on. Peter Toler was here. Thanks for him being on. It was good to sort of keep us grounded and make sure we were talking the right thing where this project was concerned on Beauregard and Broad. We'll be talking more about it. Listen, there were a couple of callers this morning. We had so many things going on, I couldn't get to you. Please call me back next week. I'm sorry we missed you. We'll try again next week. Folks, it's been good. It's spring. Get out and start planting.
You can take all the tea in China, put it in a big brown bag for me, sail right round all the seven oceans, drop it straight into the deep blue sea.